Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, greens of peace. How are you guys doing? We're going to go ahead and share what was a very, very sad moment when I heard that our brother, who's been on the program several times here on the Dean Show, when I got the news that we almost lost him. Yes, we almost lost Muhammad Hijab. A friend of mine was telling me that he came close to death. So I started right away in my computer bank, I started going back into the memory department. And I started thinking about just not so long ago, he was here, we were hanging out, he was visiting, and we got a chance to spend some time together, to bond together, did some training together, and he even got to taste one of my favorite protein shakes. And alhamdulillah, I visited him there in the UK, very nice brother, he's like a big teddy bear, man. And then think that he was that close to death, yes. So we want to derive some benefits from this, because this is something that we forget about. Many of us, we often set the date for our birth dates, but we forget about the DD, the departure date, and he was so close to it. So I gave him a call. I said, Muhammad, what's going on? What happened? I related his story, and this happened a couple months ago, but it seems like, alhamdulillah, he's in better spirits now. Let's go hear directly from him. What happened? What brought him to that state? And how can we take some benefit from this? Because we take a lot of things for granted. So I'm going to give my thoughts on this after we hear the firsthand account from our brother Muhammad Hijab.
I made the mistake.
And that's why I
But then, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. After, hold on. After I took the vaccine, why do I know so much?
I wonder.
No, because then I got a blood clot.
No.
I got pulmonary. I myself got pulmary embolism.
That's awful.
Yeah, I got pulmonary embolism from it.
And what happened? What did they do?
How long ago was this?
This was some months ago. Yeah.
Are so, you okay now?
Now I'm alright. You know what?
No.
Wow. So I took the vaccine. I got pulmonary embolism.
Yeah.
Because about 10 days after I took the vaccine.
Actually, I'm here filming people. Would you mind saying this on camera?
Well, look.
I know, but.
And then some 10 days, 11 days later, I was coughing up blood. So I was thinking, what's this? In fact, I came to Speaker's Corner on that day. And I was thinking, I'm losing my fitness. I'm losing, because what happens when you have pulmonary embolism is that your breathing becomes very short breathing and stuff. So what happened after that is one of my friends here in the park, they took me to the hospital. I said, I don't want to stay here, man. Do you know what I'm saying? So they took me to St. Mary's, yeah? Which is nearby. And we done a blood test. Well, you know, they do something called a D-dimer, which is like the... So I done the D-dimer, okay? Blood test. And they said that you can't leave the hospital. I said, what's going on? They said, you've got a blood clot. I said, come on, man. I want to go home. I won't waste my time. So what happened after that was they said, okay, they looked at it. And I had what you call lung infarction as well.
Right.
So what happens is when you get a pulmonary embolism is a blood clot in the lung. Yeah. There are three different arteries. You know, there are so you call the segmental arteries, the subsegmental arteries, and then you got the pulmonary artery. Yeah. The segmental artery is like the medium one. The subsegmental is the smallest one. The pulmonary artery is like the thickest one. If the blood clot goes through the pulmonary artery, it kills you. This is sudden death. It's sudden death, yeah? So what happened was, my one was in the segmental artery. So it's not, so you got your pulmonary artery, you got segmental artery, and then you have the sub-segmental artery. My blood clots, because there was many of them, yeah? It came through the segmental artery, yeah? So what it is that they looked at, they done a MRI and a CT scan, I should say, yeah? And they saw that, because what happens when you have pulmonary embolism, is it lung infarction is basically when you have death of the lung. So my left lung basically died, part of it, and it doesn't come back to life. It's permanent damage. It's permanent damage.
Wow.
Now the thing is, when I was speaking to someone, because I went to more than one hospital, because I had more than one episode. Yeah, I spoke to a few people, and from the doctors, they're telling me that do you know what? People die from this at your age.
Yeah.
And when with me, I insisted the guys knew me in the hospital. Whatever, they done the yellow card. Yeah. Which is to say that they reported it, that I had what you call an unprovoked situation. But a lot of times it's not the case. Look, I'm 29. I'm 29 years old. 29, yeah. For me personally, I took the vaccine. I was not, I was not erring in the side of caution from that perspective, but I regretted it. Now I'm getting messages on my phone saying take the second dose. Hey,
oh my God.
And if you don't take the second dose, what's going to happen? That you got you all these consequences. And genuinely, I've taken the vaccine as per the recommendation of the government, done what every law-abiding citizen is meant to do. 10 days later, I was on the brink of dying in a hospital, coughing out blood and couldn't breathe. In some, therefore, I will say this. I will say, I'm not saying don't take vaccines. I'm not saying that. It's up to you what you want to do with your life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. Honestly, this is genuinely a personal decision.
Yes.
But what I am going to say is, from my experience as a 29-year-old, when I took that vaccine, 10 days later, they were telling me, we need to see for the first 5 days whether you're going to survive or not. That's what they told me.
And you didn't want anyone else to go through it?
No. For me, I was ready. I was a bit ready, you know. I'd done my will, actually. I had my will already in place, but you have to make sure, by the way, you have a will, you know. You know, the Muslim community especially. No, you got to be ready to die, you know. If you're not ready to die, you're not living.
Wow, that's very deep, but it's very, very nice. I'm elated to see him in good spirits. Alhamdulillah, taking things very well. Just imagine being in that situation. You're coughing up blood, hard time to breathe, and now you're writing your will, you're getting ready to go. And why is it that this is something that's so stressed upon in our deen to reflect over this? And these are lessons, a couple of them that we can take from this. Like I started off in the beginning, many people set the date for the BD, the birth date. But what about the departure date? You just don't know when or where it can come. Young man has his whole life in front of him. And then he gets that warning, that wake-up call. It can be taken. All of it can be taken away. The children can be left behind. The wives can be left behind. The husband, if you're a woman, can be left behind. Children can be left behind. Everything, as we know, in this world, we don't actually own. It's all going to be left behind. Now, let me share a few statements, authentic statements from the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who helps to bring this reality home. This is an authentic hadith, Bukhari. He said, paradise is closer to one of you than the strap of his sandal, and so is the hellfire. Look at this. If someone says you are that close to receiving life in prison, you are that close to receiving $1 billion, which one would you go ahead and chase and run after or try to keep away from you? A life of torture that cannot even be compared to the hellfire. It's that close, as he's explaining. Just get that visual. Basically, the shoestring of your shoe. That's how close it is to you, to all of us. And our brother Muhammad Hijab came close to that reality. There's another hadith, an authentic hadith I want to share with you, where the Prophet ﷺ said, live as long as you want to live, because eventually you will die. So go ahead. You think you're going to live 100 years, 200 years of science, put something together that they can expand your life for a year or two, even though the quality of life just continues to decline as you get older. Go ahead. And he says, because eventually you're going to die. Then he goes on to talk about work as you wish, for you will be repaid accordingly. Love whomever you wish, for you will separate. You will be departed eventually. Know that the nobility of the believer is prayer at night, and his honor is his independence from the people. So go ahead and love who you're going to love. Work for what you're going to work for, because the one you love, you're going to have to be separated from. That work, you'll get paid accordingly. And at the end of the day, you will depart from this life. Again, another reality hit home. That's the beautiful thing about our deen. It holds things in a perfect balance. Now, the last hadith I want to share with you revolving around this topic of death that our brother came so close to is also in Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ said, when a man dies, when a person dies, when a human being dies, his good deeds come to an end, except three. Which three? The ongoing charity, beneficial knowledge, and a righteous son who will pray for him, a righteous child who will pray for him. Listen to this. All of the things that we accumulate, again, this is a reminder, as I said earlier, it's going to stay behind, except those three things, ongoing charity. So it encourages us to go ahead and give beneficial knowledge. It goes and encourages us to share. That's why we're sharing this information, inshallah, hoping that it gets accepted, and then raising righteous children. And a child can be a doctor and engineer, but that's not the ultimate goal. If they lose their deen, they lose themselves in this dunya. So alhamdulillah that our brother seems like he's in much better spirits and he's handling this quite well. But for all of us out there, we can take from this example. What's the example? That deaf, you can think just like he was. He never thought that something like this was going to happen, but it happened all of a sudden. It happened quickly. And then he was preparing that he can end up at any moment being separated from his family, from his loved ones. So let's go ahead and take heed. The intelligent person is the one who thinks about death often, thinks about the destroyer of pleasures, and that is death. And it helps us to live a balanced life, that we go ahead and take our share from this dunya, because the dua that we make from the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran, is, O Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, grant us the best in this life and the best in the hereafter. So we want the best of this life, the good of this life, the pure of this life. But our eye is set on the ultimate prize, and that is Jannah, paradise, because that's the life forever, ever. Yes, forever, ever. Yes, this life will end. There is a DD. In the next life, there's no departure date. Once you arrive, you're on that pure monotheism, you're doing good deeds, you're living a good, wholesome life, a righteous life, the way your creator created you to live, then you get his mercy, you get his grace. But if you're not establishing the deen, you're not establishing prayer, you ended up, go ahead, and you're drifting off, and you're just concerned about partying, playing, you're just about impressing, dressing to impress the boys, you're just worried about what he or she's going to say, you're not concerned, more appropriately, about what your creator is going to say, and what your creator is going to do at the end. Because all those actions are not in line with how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live. So we want to stay away from the backbiting, the gossiping. We want to stay away from all those things that can lead to destruction. Because a person will do one evil deed thinking like, hey, it's not a big deal, but in the sight of the creator, it is huge. And you're just brushing it off like it's a fly. But those deeds continue to pile up and pile up until you have a whole collection of those, and it's like a huge, huge fire from those small little twigs. So this is first for myself. We all are sinners. We all make mistakes. I'm the first one to admit this. But the best of sinners are those. As the Prophet said, all of the sons of Adam are sinners, but the best of those are those who are constantly in tawbah. So may Allah protect us from hypocrisy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from having an evil end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the love of this dunya. And may He give us the best of it and then grant us the eternal bliss in Jannah. In Jannah. We'll see you next time here on the Deen Show. Until then, peace be with you. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.